Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to be back with you. And as we gather today in our many different places, and yeah, we're going to look at an important topic this morning, I think. And as we do that, I'm going to lead you through the scriptures a little bit, and maybe just through a little bit of things that I'm going through, and probably I'm hoping most likely that you're going through as well, and just see what the Lord has to say to us. But before we do that, why don't we just open with prayer? So if you'll bow with me. Well, Heavenly Father, as we gather this time around your word, Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with it as we read it, as we look at it, Lord. You would just give us a wisdom to see an understanding beyond our own means, Lord, and that it would bring comfort, it would bring care, it would bring passion, Lord, it would bring desire to our lives to just follow you, to be obedient to you, and to look to you for all things as we trust in you. So, Lord, we give this time over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a little bit for me, you know, I've been wrestling a little bit these last few weeks was something that I haven't wrestled with this much in a long time. And I remember back, it actually goes all the way back to my college days, which aren't that long ago, to be honest, but as I was a little bit later of a college student. But something that I wrestled with when I went to college, and you know, me and Genevieve decided to make that change in our lives. I was driving truck, and we decided to go into the ministry. And it meant some tough times, you know, some tough decisions, a real stepping out in our faith. And it what I wrestled with the most was trusting God. I mean, you could get all excited, and we did, you know, about, okay, we're stepping out, we're stepping into ministry, this is exciting. And then, you know, that first day after you've, you know, told your boss, you know, I'm going to be going back to school, and you wake up the next morning and realize you're not going to work, or, you know, the paychecks might not be coming in as full as they once were, and you start to think, you know, did I hear right? Is God really leading me into this, life? And it was a time where we really had to trust. And I'll be honest with you, you know, as I look back on that time, the more we trusted in God, the more faithful He was. I mean, there were so many situations that we remember in that time as we, you know, stepped out in faith. And you know, bills were coming due, and all of a sudden, you know, God had prepared something in advance already, and kind of looked after us, and it really built my trust. And I'll, you know, as I've said, I think about those times now in my life, I've realized a few things over the years as I've walked into ministry, and life has become about ministry, and things begin to move into more normal circumstances. I mean, you work at a church, and your life becomes a little more stable. You get a group of friends, you have a steady income, and those sorts of things. You begin to fall into a rhythm of life, and it took me quite a few years as we've come into this kind of this pandemic that we're dealing with now, and as we talked about a few weeks ago, life begins to shake a little bit. That I realized my trusting in God has become rusty. I've become a little bit rusty in how I had that developed relationship with God, and I, you know, back in those days, and I would be able to just say, you know, oh, we can do this. God's behind us. We can step out, and I'm confident that He's going to hold me up and hold my family up, and you know, now as we began to enter into this journey that we're in here in these last few weeks and months, I realized that those things that I held on to tightly and that were growing had become rusty. And so I want to just, you know, look at that a little bit and think about that as maybe, you know, you've felt in these last few weeks and last few months that as you've been moved around and shifted out of what's comfortable, out of what's normal into the unnormal, perhaps you, like me, have had a similar journey. And began to realize, you know, oh, do I trust God in these times? Do I trust Him in these situations? And how much do I trust Him? Do I trust Him enough that He holds everything in His hands? And, you know, we've had to do things differently. And for some of you, it's quite different. For some of you, maybe it's homeschooling, you know, your kids. They've been going to school, and now they're at home, and you're looking after some of those things. For some of you, it's working in uncertain conditions, maybe with the sickness going around, and you've been forced to work, and you know, you're worried about those sorts of things. For some of you, it's maybe a little bit even harder than that. You're faced with the reality of losing a job, or or losing a business. And those are big things. Maybe some of you, it has to do with your family. You know, things have shifted and you're not seeing, you know, your family as much as you used to. Maybe grandparents, you can't see your grandkids, or you know, kids, you're used to seeing friends, or you're used to seeing cousins or nephews, and you can't see those people that you were close to before. And so we've shifted, and God's kind of changed things on us a little bit. And it comes back to that question, you know, do I trust God with what's going on here? Do I trust Him in how things are happening? You know, what if, and I've heard a lot of things being said, you know, about this time that we're in, and maybe blame going on. We've blamed a disease or a sickness, or we've blamed, you know, the government, or we've blamed, different things about what's going on and why we're in the situation that we're at now. Maybe the enemy is just attacking us is one of the things that we've blamed it on. But I want to say to you this morning that I believe wholeheartedly that this time is an opportunity that's been given to us from God. In fact, I would say that not only has it been given to us, but it's been forced onto us, because there's situations, there's circumstances, there's things that we haven't done in a long time that God wants to give us opportunities to face and to look at. And I think trust is one of those things. I think it's time that, you know, that we can look at this as an opportunity for a time of rest, a time to find peace, a time to answer that very personal question that each one of us has to answer, and that is, do we trust God in this time? You know, I believe with all my heart that this is where God has led us, and He's led us on purpose. And the reason why I believe that comes from the Scriptures, and I want to look at one Scripture, and Garth has read it for us already, Exodus chapter 20. Verses 8 through 10 and 11 in there. It comes out of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the commandments that God sent to us and God gave us on Mount Sinai. And it lands right in the middle. It's commandment number 4. And it's a big one. Although we don't take it too seriously, I don't think, these days, as we go through life. But it's a one that says, you know, you should take a day, a special day, and you should take a day of rest where you cease work. It was actual commandment of the Lord. You say, well, that's kind of a weird commandment. When you think of it and you look at all the other commandments, it does kind of stick out as being a kind of an odd commandment. Keep and set apart a day for you. Verse 10, he says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You shall just set things apart, set things down, and take some time. And we're going to look at why we would do that. But first of all, I want to point out, you know, that's probably not an easy thing. It wasn't easy, I don't think, for the Israelites when God gave them that command. It was actually in a lot of ways, a similar situation to the life that we live now. They were living as well. And there's a lot of differences too, but I'll point out some of the similarities. For one, you know, the Israelites had just come out of Egypt. This is written in Exodus. This is all about them exiting Egypt and heading out into the wilderness. And they came from Egypt where they were slaves, where they worked every day, and they worked hard. I mean, they were not a lazy people. They were a hardworking group of people. They knew what it meant to work, and they worked 7 days a week, all day long. And it was hard work, hard labor. And so to come out for them, and to have a commandment like that to come to them is for some of them probably difficult. For some of them, it's probably quite a relief. A whole day off was something that they probably were looking forward to. But for some of them, it was quite difficult. And you know, we come from a time in our lives where, you know, when you start to think about it, back years ago, life was different. I mean, things weren't open on Sunday. You know, Sunday was kind of considered a day where you didn't work. And over the years, that's disappeared. I mean, now more and more, things are 24/7, 7 days a week. And that's the society that we live in. And so there's a similarity there with them as well. I mean, and now as we look at, you know, online and all those things, we have just an open ability to connect and to do things and to be continually engaged all day long, all night long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so Exodus becomes this command in Exodus becomes something for us to look at seriously and to reevaluate and to be part of our lives. It was a big deal for the Israelites, and actually started not only, this was not the first time that God had brought up the Sabbath, it was actually brought to the Israelites earlier, a few chapters earlier actually, in Exodus chapter 16. And how it came about was in verse 23 of chapter 16, God begins to, as he's showing the Israelites, I'm going to provide for you. I'm here for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to provide everything that you need. And one of the things he provided was manna from heaven. You probably know this story. If you don't, you can go back and look in chapter 16. And God begins to do this miraculous thing where he just drops manna from heaven. And it's there every morning. And he gives them some commands. He says, you know what? You go out, you collect this manna every morning. You bring it back into your house. Don't collect any more than you need. All you collect for is the day that you need it for. So you have a family of five. You go out and you collect all the portions you need to feed that family. If it's just you, you go and collect all you need to just support yourself for that day and no more. And so, of course, some of them wouldn't believe that. They had a hard time trusting God that he would provide the next day. And so they would go out and they would collect for another day, or they would collect more than they needed. And if you don't know the story, the next morning when they would go and check on that manna that they had saved from the day before, it would be rotten, it would be moldy, it would be filled with maggots. It was no good, not good for eating. And they'd have to go back out and collect again. And again, and again, and again, every morning, except for this morning of the seventh day, which God called the Sabbath day. And he said to them, he says, you may gather food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day. There will be no food on the ground that day. And so what you're supposed to do is you go out on the sixth day and you gather enough food for the sixth day and the seventh day. There will be no gathering of work. There will be no gathering on the seventh day. And this was a picture, this was an idea of, as it was through the whole journey through the 40 years they spent in the wilderness, was about God showing the people of Israel that he will provide for them all that they need every day if they're obedient and they listen to him. And as soon as they step out of those parameters, well, they're on their own. They're going to be stuck with maggoty, rotten food, or they're going to be short food. Within his parameters, he will provide for them all that they need if they trust him to do that. And so we read again as we go into chapter 16, verse 27. It says that some people just went out anyway. They went out on the seventh day when God said, you know, provide, and there was nothing there. And, you know, isn't that a picture of people not trusting the Lord? He was clear with them. I mean, if manna falling from heaven was not miraculous enough of showing that God will provide for you, and then he says, on the seventh day, I will not. You must collect on the sixth for both days. Still, they went out on the seventh day. Still, they showed that there was an untrusting spirit that God would provide for them. And God, he says, how long? How long are they going to live in disobedience? When are they going to trust me? When are they going to do what I asked them to do and realize that I'm good for my word? And, we can look at that picture, and that lays a little bit of a picture for us too. As we provide, and as we begin to not trust God anymore, as I've told you, I've struggled with in these last years, I've realized it's become rusty. And when it comes time to trust God, I realize you got to start over again and say, no, God is faithful to his word. He will provide. And as soon as I step out of that, or as soon as you step out of that, or as soon as the Israelites stepped out of that, what they said was, no, I will provide for myself. And they realized that they couldn't. That having God provide for us was something that he had designed so for our benefit. And as soon as we step out of that realm, we begin to provide for ourselves, and we will never do as well as we would if we were living within the realm of obedience to God. And as you go through the scriptures, the Israelites are always pushing against God in this. They're always struggling to kind of work around this. Like, do we trust God? I don't know. We're going to try something else and try to get around this commandment. And always doing so, it always ends in issues and in trouble. And it does so in our lives as well. When we move outside of the realm of, do we trust God to provide for us? That's what the Sabbath is about. Understanding that God will provide for us. And so you see them go out, and a few of them forget it, and the Lord, you know, asks Moses, how long will they refuse to just obey my commands? They must realize, he says, that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to them. The Sabbath is the Lord's gift to us. That is why he gives us 2 days of supply on the sixth day, so that there will be enough day for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out and pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather. They finally figured it out. They did not gather food on the seventh day. You know, this idea of Sabbath, when we look at all the commandments in the Bible, and the Ten Commandments specifically, you know, there's after this, there's like, you know, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not murder, you know, thou shalt not covet, and those sorts of things. This is one of the ones that, for whatever reason, it seems like it kind of falls by the wayside. It doesn't hold the same amount of impact in our lives as some of those other commandments do. I mean, if we treated thou shalt not murder the same way we treat thou shalt, you know, obey the Sabbath and take a day, imagine what kind of world we would live in. But you know what? We go on in the scripture. We go on in Exodus chapter 20 as to why it's important for us to follow the Sabbath day. And they use this interesting model, as God likens it to in verse 11. He likens it to what God did at creation. He says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. And it's an interesting take back to the fact that God also went and rested on the seventh day. And it's not that God needed rest. It wasn't that God was tired after he had created everything on earth. I mean, he went through 6 days of creation. It wasn't that he got tired and that he needed a rest, but it was this idea, this word rest actually is a word that means he ceased. He ceased work on the seventh day. He did no work. He just sat and he looked at his creation. You know what he said about his creation? He says, my creation is very good. What I've done is very good. And you know, within that is an understanding that God had created everything that we have. God has created everything that you have. When you think about why you get up and go to work in the morning, it's because God has given you a job. God has created the circumstances so that you have a job, that you have work, that you have food, that you have a family. All these things God has given us. Everything that we have comes from God and is a gift from God. And so God created, through 6 days, he created everything. It's an understanding that everything we have comes from God. And then on the seventh day, he ceased. He rested from his work. It's a reminder for us of where everything that we have comes from. But it also comes with a bit of a warning. As we look at the scriptures, it comes down to, it came about for us to do nothing, that we have nothing to do on that day. Man also took that, as the Pharisees did, we see in Jesus' day, man took that, saying, you have nothing to do, you cannot do anything, you must rest and not do anything at all. And man took that Sabbath day and that commandment, and they turned it into their own understanding. They made it a burden for people, and people to say, well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do these things. And they turned it around from something that was supposed to be a blessing to people, and they turned it into something that was a burden for people. And you know, we have the ability that we can also do that with a Sabbath day, even in our own lives today, even though we have the scriptures and we know that it was Jesus himself that set those people straight in the Gospels when he said, and he took them, and he was questioned about things that he was doing on the Sabbath day, and things he was doing, you know, crazy things, like he was out, you know, healing people, like, well, how could he think about doing that? Or he was out and his people who were hungry would, you know, his disciples, as they followed him, they plucked grain from the fields as they were walking and they ate them. And of course that was considered harvesting and all sorts of, you know, all sorts of different things that they were doing. And how could they possibly do that? and it became burdensome. And Jesus said to those people, he said, Sabbath is not made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. It was made, as we read in Exodus, to be a blessing, to be something that was given to you as a gift, to strengthen you, to empower you, to give you rest, to give you peace, to remind you to trust in the Lord for your provisions for each day. And the law, as these guys started to add to it and pile things onto it, became ridiculous. It became about controlling people. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way it is. It's not about controlling people. It's not about putting burdens on people. It's about freeing people up. It's about freeing you and me. So then as we think about the Sabbath, we wonder, you know, how then should we live? How do we establish Sabbath within our lives today? How do we look at it and say, how is this something that I can live with that is something that is a benefit for me, something that is a blessing for me, something that God has intended for me to have in my life? And if we look at this idea that it became a time for rest, as it did for God, a time to cease work, to just stop doing the things that consume all of our mind and take our mind off of Christ. It's a reminder that everything we have comes from the Lord. And to take a time for you and me to sit and to cease work and to say, everything that I have comes from the Lord. And so if we do that, then it becomes a moment and a time of thanksgiving as we begin to think of the many blessings that we have in our lives. We say, no, thank you, Lord, I have a job. Thank you that I have work. Thank you that I have time. Thank you that I have breath. Thank you that I have family. It opens up a time for us to be grateful, to be thankful, as we take a time to cease. It opens up a time for us to realize that, you know, maybe our trust in God has become rusty. You know, as we struggle, as those early Israelites did, to say, you know what, can I actually stop work? I mean, for a whole day? I mean, I have to provide for my family. I have to provide for the things that go on. Do I actually trust God to take those moments and to say, no, I will provide for your family. Work hard. Work hard and work hard as you can. You know, 6 days or 5 days or whatever you have, and then take a Sabbath. Take a day where you just take some time to worship the Lord, to remember the Lord. It says to remember to keep it holy and to keep the day holy and to take a Sabbath for the Lord. You know, we'll never accomplish as much as we would following His direction. We'll never accomplish more following our own way than we will when we follow God's direction for our lives. And we follow Him even into Sabbath rest. And that's always the paradox. It seems like if we stop, how can we progress forward? Well, I want to share a little bit of a story with you. This is a story that when I was out on my fishing trip, that I go on yearly. A friend of mine, Tom Knossen, shared with us as we sat around the fire one night, and it was a story about the Voyagers, the group that would paddle all the way across Canada with fur. It was a trade route, and they would paddle in these giant canoes, and they would haul mass amounts of fur and goods, and they would go all the way across the country, all the miles and miles and miles, hundreds and thousands of miles of paddling. Over hard portages, they would climb, and just a lot of work. And one day, this group of guys that, before they started, they had become Christians. And they were reading the Bible, and they took it seriously. And they took the part about taking a Sabbath seriously. And these guys going out there, they paddled 7 days a week hard. And they would go all day long. And then they would stop, they would camp, they would sleep. And they would go hard again all day long the next day. And so two groups started out. This one group was this Christian group. The other group was a non-Christian group, same group, and that did things always the same way. And so they started off, and they went the first 6 days. And on the seventh day, the one group took off, and the other group said, we're going to take a Sabbath. We're going to take a day off work. Ridiculed. The group said, we're going to leave you behind. You're in the dust. And off they'd leave them. And went a few days, went a few weeks even, and they would eventually, you know, they would see each other a little bit, but eventually time went on, and the one group that just kept going every day, naturally they got way ahead. But as the journey continued on, and And these guys would take their day of rest, and they would take a day to relax. And I'm sure a lot of them questioned, you know, is this the right thing? I mean, we're going to be way behind. It's going to cost us financially. It's going to cost us in reputation. And eventually, they started to catch up. And as they got, midway through the journey, that day of rest that they would take, that day that they would just cease work and they would spend time with the Lord and they would spend time with each other, began to give them energy that the other group didn't have because they took no rest. And eventually they caught up. And not only did they catch up, they started to pass them. Even though they took a day, eventually those guys wouldn't even catch them if they took another whole day off, and they'd be gone again. And at the end of the trip, the end of the journey, they finished way ahead of the other group, and word began to spread. That, you know, sometimes the way of the world is not the way, is not the best way. And this is information that God gave us years ago, thousands of years ago, that His way is greater than any other way that we could come up with. And you know what, I believe that this is a time, one of those times where God is just settling us down and saying, you know what, here's a little reminder. As our lives begin to slow down, as we begin to realize that, you know, okay, you know, I don't have to run at this moment in time 7 days a week, taking my kids to 100 different things or being a part of all these different groups. As everything shuts down, we enter into a bit of a time here of forced Sabbath, forced time to review and renew and reassess our values in life as to what's important. And I think that, you know, as we read through the Ten Commandments, we see this commandment about Sabbath. I think it's a time for us to take a serious look at Sabbath. I don't know about you, but for me, when I entered into this this forced shutdown, this forced closure of everything, I started to, the first part of it, I was just shaking, you know, a little bit about how, you know, isn't there something I need to be doing right now? I need to be getting out and taking kids somewhere and realizing that, you know, life is more than just running around with our heads cut off, right? There is something to this Sabbath. But you know, we can reject it. We can be like those guys who get up on Sunday morning anyway and went out and on the Sabbath morning anyway and went out and looking for manna. And we can reject it, and we can step outside of being obedient to God in these things. And I think this is an important time for us to reassess, to reevaluate, and to say, to look at Sabbath seriously. And say, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with this time that I should be setting aside for the Lord and for His people and for showing our gratefulness to Him and for His worship? You know what? Why not take this opportunity and make it a priority in our lives? God has given this season to us. He's given us this time. I don't believe that anyone else has given to us. I believe it's God who's given it to us. And you know what? I know when I say this, I'm speaking to fathers and to mothers and to people who work. And some of those people are working hand to mouth. And I know I'm speaking to farmers. And I know I'm speaking to grandparents. And I know I'm speaking to teenagers. And I know I'm speaking to college students who have exams and who have things that they need to be doing and studying for. And weeks can fill up. And even in a time like this, weeks, we can fill our weeks with everything under the sun and still forget to take time for the Lord. And I know that we're all facing our own set of challenges in time management, and we live in a world that's not designed for Sabbath. It's a world that is not, and a culture and a society that's not designed for Sabbath. And yet God says that it's important. God says that it is something that will benefit us, that will grow us, that will give us strength, that will give us rest, it will give us peace. What if we were to try it? What if you were to just take some time and try it and say, you know what, I'm going to make this a priority. What if you were to make it a number one priority in your life? And you just say, you know what, I see in the scriptures that God says it's important. I see that He says it has value. I see the benefits of what it does. It turns my attention to Him. It builds that trust in Him that He will provide for us, that He will provide not just monetary provision, but He will provide rest, that He will provide strength, that He will provide all those things that we need to be a full, complete, well-rounded person. What if you were to try it? What if you were to take the summer, this summer, and say, you know what, I'm going to do it one day a week. I am going to set aside work. I'm going to just shut things off, close things down, take some time, and here's some things you can do. So it's not just, you know, you sit in your room, you're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to work. Remember, the Sabbath is for you. The Sabbath, God, Jesus said it, the Sabbath is created for you to be a blessing. So you take some time, one day, where you set aside the things that you have to do, the things that press you, the work, you cease, and you take time for family. You take time to worship the Lord. You take time to celebrate with friends and family what the Lord has done for you, what he's doing for you, what he's going to do. You take time to pray. Take time to sit with the Father and say, Lord, you know, Heavenly Father, this is our time together. You take time with your family to do that. One day a week where you set your work aside and you practice, you participate in Sabbath. It was a gift for you. You know, I want to ask you a question as we close. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust God in your life? How much do you trust him? Do you want that trust to grow? You know, I think back to those years where I was going to school. My trust in the Lord was at the greatest it has ever been. And it kind of waned over the years. You know, as I begin to rely on my own abilities and my own ability to provide for myself, and I forget those things. I forget that everything I have was created by God. I forget that, you know, I need rest to be fully and completely spiritual, physical, and emotionally healthy. I forget. What if we take one day a week? Will you take this challenge with me? I'm going to give you a challenge to just do it. And ask the question, do I trust the Lord? The Sabbath is all about answering that question. It always was from the beginning. From the minute the Israelites got, you know, to take the Sabbath day, it was all about trusting God. And it still is. It's all about, do we trust the Lord? And you don't have to take any day in particular. I mean, that Jesus doesn't say there's any day in particular. In fact, he says every day is Sabbath unto the Lord. Every day is a reminder of what God does for us. And so it's not like it has to be a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever. You know, the day I take is my Friday, is my day off. And I put things aside. I don't, you know, and I take it as a time for Sabbath. And I do my worship day on Sunday still, like everybody else. But Friday is a day where I still do other work. I do things, but they're not the work that I have to do. It's work that is refreshing for me and builds me up. Do you trust God to provide for you enough that you will take a day off and just focus on him and focus on the things he's put before you, your family, your friends, your relationships? Like the Voyagers witnessed to those who watched them, who thought they were completely ridiculous for taking a day off, and yet in the end it turned out that man's way is ridiculous and God's way is the way to go. Scripture will tell us that, and life will prove it over and over. Imagine what a group of people, you know, following the way of the true king would show a watching world. And the world watches. If we were to follow God in obedience, what would that show to the world? When we trust God in all things, like the Sabbath reminds us to do, we show the world that following the king is the only way to life and to peace and to rest. May God bless you. I pray that we walk through Sabbath and that it strengthens us, and that we show the world. May God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we, Lord, as we read your scriptures and we desire to take them seriously, or we desire to look at them and say, this is truth. Sabbath is meant for us as a benefit, and you've given it to us as a gift. That's truth. And as we step into a time of Sabbath where we just take a time to lay aside work, to focus on our relationship with you, to focus on our relationship with our family and friends. And Lord, as we do that, as we take these moments of gratitude, you'll build in us a trust that we can take with us wherever we go, that we can trust you with. And Lord, now I just pray that we would take up that challenge and that, again, you would prove faithful to us in it. May you give us the strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you.